Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Let's kick off the show this week by welcoming in. It's not often you get one of the best in the business at anything to join you on your radio show, but we have the best in the business joining us right now. That is Steve Calhoun, the best quarterback coach in the business from Armed and Dangerous Football. Coach, thanks for taking the time to join us here on Catholic Sports View.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on. Absolutely. I'm on with the number one host in Southern California, my man Bob.
I appreciate that. Thank you. We got a lot to talk about in these couple of segments here because I really want to dive into what you do and how it is you help high school football players, you know, pursue their dreams, because that's really what it boils down to. But kind of give us your background in the sport of football and kind of how you got started yourself. I know you were a college quarterback too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I played at New Mexico State University, and from there I was able to get a professional contract to play over in Europe. In Germany for 9 years. And so once I got done with that, wanted to stay involved. I started coaching some high school ball, and, you know, one of my mentors, he said, hey, you do a really good job of coaching quarterbacks. I think you should start your own business. I think you found your niche. And that's where Armed and Dangerous was born 12 years ago, and had a lot of success to this point. You know, I've been able to train some really, really good athletes and some really good quarterbacks to, you know, help my business, you know, further.
Right. You know, obviously, you know, you were, somebody gave you the, you know, help, told you, hey, you'd be good at this. You probably knew at some point, hey, I can do this. This is something I really want to do. But how do you take that idea and actually turn it into a business that became Armed and Dangerous?
My mentor, Tom Stein, who coached me in junior college at Santa Ana College, I was coaching a young high school quarterback from Oceanside named Derek Shaw. My last year of getting ready to go play over in Europe, we had worked together for about 4 months. I left to go back and play in Europe, and he played his junior year at Oceanside High School and ended up becoming the number one high school quarterback in the country. So from there, that's when Coach Stein said, hey, I really think you found your niche. This is something you should be doing. And that's where it was all born.
Does it really just become word of mouth at that point? You know, somebody tells somebody else, and then you get your reputation built, right?
Absolutely. That's, you know, I mean, that's better than advertising. You know, if you're telling me a great place to eat, Bob, you know, and we're great friends, and I'm going to trust you, I'm headed there first, and even without, you know, looking at the reviews on the internet or in the newspaper. So that's how, you know, my business has grown thus far.
Yeah, it's so true. Word of mouth, really. Friends telling friends. Steve Calhoun joining us, quarterback and wide receiver coach. We'll talk about some of the receivers and quarterbacks that Coach Calhoun has worked with, joining us this week on the show. How did you start to work receivers into the mix? Was it just a natural thing to have receiver? Because quarterbacks need receivers to throw to, right?
Absolutely. It's a natural maturation for me to start, you know, training quarterbacks and incorporating that into Armed and Dangerous football.
Are you able to now, at this point, look at a quarterback and know if he's got something going for him and if this is a kid who's got a future at the position?
Absolutely. I can, from the age of about 10 years old, I can say he has a really, really good shot of playing college football. And that's just by how well he's able to process the information that I'm giving him. You know, if I get a 10-year-old quarterback to come out and, you know, I never change my workouts from if you're an NFL quarterback or if you're a 10-year-old. I'm going to give the same amount of information because same game, 90% of the game from quarterback position is mental and just 10% physical.
Yeah, it's so true. You hear that so often, but are there a lot of kids who have the physical tools and just don't have it between the ears, and that's what keeps them from making that next step?
That's what I truly believe, because there's a lot of quarterbacks that are athletic that can just naturally roll the ball. But it's how well they're able to process the information, be able to take the information from the coach and apply it on the field. Okay, and now here he's got different blitzes coming at you as well, so you've got to be able to, you know, understand protections and how to protect yourself and really allow yourself to throw the ball against those different defenses.
Steve Calhoun joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. Quarterback coach extraordinaire. There's other people out there that do what you do, obviously, but what sets you apart from what other coaches do?
I believe, you know, what we do here at Armed and Dangerous, it's the attention to detail. You know, we're going to coach every possible movement a quarterback can make in a game. And we're going to drill it, have it become muscle memory. Now the mind is just free to think about coverages and defensive fronts and blitzes, and just the body's kind of like just on autopilot. Okay? Because we've repped those movements, you know, so many times in practice that, you know, the body's just, you don't have to tell them what to do. And I think, you know, those are just some of the things that separates Armed and Dangerous from, you know, other quarterbacks. got coaches out there doing it.
Well, I can certainly testify to your knowledge. You know, we've had a chance to sit and talk numerous times about quarterbacks. You were one of the first ones I know that said, hey, Dak Prescott, this kid can play. Deshaun Watson, he's going to be the kid out of this last draft that's going to be, the quarterback to keep an eye on. And all those things are coming true. Dak Prescott is already one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And we see Deshaun Watson come in relief this past week one in the NFL and already looks like somebody who's ready to command a huddle.
Absolutely, because he played a lot of football. Has a really bright future ahead of him. And as you can see now, he's one of the first round picks. He's able to do well, in his first outing. He had a couple of bumps, but, you can see the potential in that and how much he has a really high ceiling. But he's going to be able to grow in that position and be with the Texans for a long time.
It's obviously the most scrutinized position on the football field by far. I mean, nothing even comes close to the scrutiny that quarterbacks come under. When you work with a kid, you've worked with plenty that have gone into the NFL draft. How many kids have you worked with that you sent them into the draft knowing, hey, this is a kid who can play at that next level?
You know what? I mean, there's quite a few that I've worked with. Football is the ultimate team game because it's those other two players around you that's going to allow you to have success.
Do you ever look at a quarterback and say, hey, this guy should be doing better than he's doing, but the talent around him isn't there, and that's what's really holding him back?
Yeah, I mean that's a lot, and not just in the NFL, that's also in college and high school as well. You see, I'm able to work with him on a day-by-day basis the offseason, and I understand his capabilities and how well he can play, but just, when he doesn't have the pieces around him to allow him to be successful and really put a skill set on his way.
Steve Calhoun joining us from Armed and Dangerous Football. Give us a little rundown. Give us some of the roster of players that you've worked with.
From Russell Wilson to Mike Glennon to Nick Foles to Cody Kessler. There's been quite a few. I've been really fortunate to work with those guys when they're young. And Dak Prescott, I have the opportunity every summer to work at the Manning Passing Academy as one of the coaches. And they invite the top 4,000 quarterbacks. So I get a chance to work with those guys very closely and see, what makes them tick, the mental process, how much they're able to process and be able to apply. So I've had the opportunity to work with quite a few guys being at the Manning camp and also just, through my company of Armed and Dangerous Football.
You mentioned that, you'll treat a young quarterback the same as you will an older one. Do you find that, young quarterbacks are able to absorb more than maybe we think they can?
Absolutely. And I think that's some of the things that has to change in football is that it's not like 20 years ago where these kids can only handle a couple of pieces of information. I ask my son all the time, how my iPhone works. And he shows me another 80%. I'm only using 20% of his capability. He shows me the other 80%. And that's just like these kids now with the iPhones and the PS3s, the PS4s, and the Xboxes. I mean, they have so many things that they can handle in a technological world. These young guys are able to process a lot of information. But, the youth football coaches are not, really giving it to them in the world. And I think that's a really change. I mean, there's some programs that are doing it, but I think it's going to start to change pretty quick here that the youth football coaches, they know now, okay, I can give them all this information, and they're able to go out at 10, 11, 12 years old and able to play at a high level.
You bring up technology. How much do you use technology in your camps and how much you coach one-on-one with kids?
Well, I use a little bit. I always have an iPad out at my workouts, whether it's my camp or my individual stuff. I believe that this generation of players, they learn by seeing and not necessarily auditory. So when they're able to see themselves on film, on that iPad, as you've been telling them to step toward their target or lift their elbow a little bit, they, without them seeing it, they think that they're doing it. But when they're able to see myself on the screen, they're like, oh, okay, my elbow is a little bit up. Okay, I'm not stepping to my target. Now they're able to take that information and apply it right there to the next repetition. So, I mean, that's one of the big things. You can see on the sideline now in NFL games, even in high school and college games now, that, they have iPads on the sideline. So they can come and watch the previous plays from the previous series, able to make those adjustments, and now they can take that information, go out and be more successful in the upcoming series.
Yeah, you just see it. You can see it in the maturation process. When I see kids sometimes, they'll come back, from either sophomore to junior or even junior to senior year, and you'll just see that maturation that has happened. Does it just come down to the bottom line of just good old-fashioned hard work?
That's what it comes down to. It comes down to being open-minded you know, really being open-minded and not being stubborn and really listening to your coaches and telling them the right things. But, you know, there's always just a, you know, a little piece of a quarterback that says, I think I know it better. Comes right down to old-fashioned hard work and doing the focusing on the details, and that's what separates quarterbacks.
We're going to take a quick break here, and before we take that break, Coach, let everybody know about you got an upcoming camp this weekend and maybe some of the other ones you have coming up as well here in the Southern California area.
You can go on my website at www.longdavisfootball.com and sign up there, and hopefully I'll see quite a few quarterbacks come out this Sunday.
All right, quick break right here on Catholic Sports. When we come back, we'll have more with Coach Steve Calhoun. We're talking quarterbacks and wide receivers, and we're going to get into a little bit of the Trinity League as well, which is no stranger to great quarterbacks and playmakers. We'll have more. Stay with us on Immaculate Heart Radio.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson, and joining us this week is Steve Calhoun with Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Camps, as well as a one-on-one quarterback coach. He works with some of the best in the business. Coach, I know you've worked with Keenan Allen is another player that you had a chance to work with. We just saw him come back with the Chargers after unfortunately having to sit out a year with an injury. When you deal with kids who are battling with injuries, is the mental part just as big in that as well?
Yeah, it is. You know, in Keenan's situation, he wanted to play, wanted to show everybody that he's one of the top receivers in the NFL coming back in that game. So I thought he was pressing a little bit last night, but, you know, but the injury factor, he was over it. I thought when we started working out in March and the doctor said, hey, you're clear, and he started running, and, you know, it's that first cut that he made, you know, that really full-speed cut, and he was like, okay, I'm over it. I don't have to worry about my knee. My knee's 100%. You know, he was worked on by Dr. Andrews down there in Florida. And once that, he made that first cut, and he felt great. I think he was over that mental part of, okay, man, is my knee back 100%. So that does, you know, cause a little bit of hesitation until they go full speed, you know, when an athlete has an injury right there.
Is it fair sometimes for a kid to get a label? Just take a kid like Jared Goff here with the LA Rams. I mean, came in, had an awful first year as a rookie under a lot of scrutiny, of course, and then looked a little better here in this season opener against not a very good defense. But can you see a kid who's making strides and maybe making adjustments along the way? Can somebody even do that at the professional level? Or is it sometimes the habits, you know, are kind of ingrained by that point?
No, I think the quarterback position in the NFL is the toughest to actually learn. It's such a big jump from college, you know, playing in the system that Jared played in at Cal, where it's just, you know, four wide off, and, you know, it's like a one-sided read. They never really did a full field progression like you're asked to do in the NFL. You know, Tom Brady and Brees and Rivers and Rodgers, those guys have played so many snaps, they just feel, you know, so comfortable, you know, playing the game every Sunday.
Right. You know, you mentioned a guy like Tom Brady and a guy like Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers slipped in the first round. He still was a first-round pick, but he slipped down and was picked a lot lower than maybe he should have been, as it turns out. How does a guy like Tom Brady go in the sixth round? How do talent evaluators have all that tape on somebody and all the scrutiny of the combine and still a guy like that who's maybe the best of all time, how does he go in the sixth round?
You know what? I just think that organizations, they kind of – they look and see what's on tape. And, I mean, he had a great he played great at Michigan. Has come back. You know, James, we brought the team back and won games. I mean, for everything we saw, you see him do with the New England Patriots, he's been in college. So that's the biggest question. You still see that going on today. It's just the way some teams evaluate players. You know, so I mean, you know, guys who had great college careers, you still see that, you know, organizations are still making mistakes in their evaluations.
Are we seeing people put too much on the combine? We come hear about these workout warriors and people to make a quick impression, and people aren't taking into consideration maybe the body of work in college.
Yeah, I believe so. You know, I believe you are who you are, what you put on tape. So what you put on tape, you know, is that's the player that you're going to be getting. You know, and yes, can you clean up the footwork and the throwing mechanics and stuff like that? Yes, you can. But as far as being a guy, understand pressure and blitzes and stuff like that, you see that in the game situation. You don't see that at the combine or, you know, at pro days. So I think there is way too much stuff being put on at the combine when these organizations are evaluating players.
Steve Calhoun, world-renowned quarterback coach. And I say world-renowned because I know you've gone to Europe. I know you've been on Australia, I think, other parts of the world to quarterback as well over there. What kind of talent pool are we finding in Europe and other parts of the world?
I mean, there's a big talent pool from Japan to China to Australia to, you know, all over Europe. There's a lot of guys that can play the position. And it's because of access to the internet, you know, and now guys like myself are moving over to Europe and doing different camps. You know, you saw Tom Brady over in Japan, I believe, you know, doing quarterback camps, just passing on the knowledge that, that normally they wouldn't be able to get without the internet, or guys like myself, these NFL guys going over to different countries, you know, doing quarterback camps and clinics and stuff. And, you know, to the credit to the coaches from Europe and all over the world, they're coming to the States and coming to the different coaching clinics, the Nike and the Glazer and the AFCA football clinics, and they're taking that information back, being a sponge, and you know, giving that information to their players. So they're doing a great job as well, you know, because they can get the information, but can they communicate it to their players to allow their players to understand it and grow as a player?
Right. It's so true. Steve Calhoun again joining us this week. Armed and Dangerous Football Camp, armedanddangerousfootball.com is the website, correct?
Correct. That is correct.
So, and you have camps coming up. Go over your camps again with us really quick, the ones that are upcoming here in Southern California for our listeners who maybe want to get more information, and maybe they have a kid who's interested.
Yep, I have a camp coming up this Sunday from noon to 2 p.m., and it's for quarterbacks of 5th grade through 12th grade. And they can register at www.com.armeddavisfootball.com. And I will have those camps every other weekend at Calvary Chapel High School in Santa Ana.
Perfect. You know, anyone who's interested, armedanddangerousfootball.com is the place to go. Steve Calhoun, the best in the business, as we told you right at the top, without a doubt. The talent roster, you know, speaks for itself. I know you get a chance to work with so many high school quarterbacks. The Trinity League, you're no stranger to the Trinity because you've seen and worked with quarterbacks out of several of the high schools. The talent pool, I think, in that league is as good as anywhere in the world, I guess.
Definitely in the country. I mean, you know, with the but there being so many quarterback coaches, guys that do what I do here in California, and we have year-round sun. So I think guys are a little bit ahead of everywhere else in the country. But they're definitely catching up. But you see, you know, the talent here in the 250 League is really unbelievable. I mean, from team to team to team, you see guys that are playing at a very high level and leading their teams to a lot of victories.
Yeah, we see the Helinskis, you know, obviously the brothers. There's been three brothers that have come through. The third one is now at Orange Lutheran. You got JT Daniels, of course, who's signed with USC now as a junior. And, you know, the kid at J. Sarah, the kid at Santa Margarita. I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, are you excited when you get a chance to go out and see a new prospect?
Absolutely. And you can, you know, I always go out and watch freshman football games, you know, if I had the opportunity to work with that quarterback or not, because you can see how the Trinity League is going to be shaping up, you know, for years to come. So you can see guys playing at a really, really high level, you know, even in freshman football. You can see the Real Mixon when he was a freshman. Daniel from modern day.
Right.
Even though as a freshman he played varsity, but you saw those guys coming up through the ranks and you're just like, man, the Trinity League is going to be good for years to come.
How much does that help a kid like JT Daniels when he has the players around him? He's got the C.J. Parks and Brew McCoy and
Amon
Ross St. Brown that he's got. I mean, when you've got those kind of receivers, it makes it that much easier, right?
Yeah, But the one thing you didn't mention is that huge offensive line. A bunch of time to throw the ball. You know, it's hardly ever, you know, he gets his uniform dirty. You know, he has a great offensive line. And when you have time and you got those receivers that you just named to run around in the secondary for 3 or 4 seconds, it's pretty easy to play quarterback.
Yeah, so true. His left tackle, Tommy Brown's going to Alabama, so I guess he's pretty good, huh?
He's pretty good. Yes.
6'7", about 325, I think, something like that, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Absolutely.
So.
Yes.
You mentioned, you know, getting down and watching the freshmen. We don't get a chance to cover a lot of that stuff here. You know, we focus on varsity sports, but I imagine that's where maybe you see a kid who maybe you think you can maybe work with is when you see somebody who's got that spark of talent or somebody at the junior high or freshman level that you think you can clean something up and maybe make a player out of.
Absolutely. I see these guys playing, you know, from Pop Warner, Junior American in their seventh or eighth grade before you even come to high school and into their freshman year. They're able to process on the field, like I was talking about earlier. You see those guys taking all the stuff we do in the drills and the practices, throwing the ball on the run and a play action and change of protection.
You know, we talked about JT Daniels just a minute ago, and how rare is it for a kid at his age, you know, obviously as his sophomore quarterback last year, and the coach says, hey, I'm going to let you call your own plays. I mean, does that ever happen?
I'm sure it has, but you know, it doesn't happen too often, especially, you know, with somebody as seasoned as Dave Money, who's a good friend of mine, who's the offensive coordinator, you know, has been there, for, you know, for 17-plus years. I think he's been there ever since Coach Robinson got
yeah.
there. So, you know, with somebody of his knowledge to turn over the reins to a quarterback, you have to feel really, really comfortable with that quarterback taking over the play calling. So, I mean, that just tells you right there. He's really, really smart, and he's, you know, he's doing a great job calling plays.
Yeah, obviously a quarterback will be in a high school program, and he's got coaches there who are working with him. You mentioned Dave Money, one of the best offensive coordinators in the business. Is there ever pushback against kids, you know, going to work, say, with you, where a high school coach might say, hey, you're trying to get a kid to do something different than I'm trying to get? Do you ever run into those kind of issues?
You know what? I've never have, because anybody that ever works with me from the high school ranks, I go and introduce myself to the head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, and say, I understand that this quarterback does not play for me, he plays for you. So let's work together and build this quarterback. So I ask them, what are some of the things you guys are doing in practice? What is the offense you guys are running? So I can build those things that they're doing at that particular high school into his workout, his private workouts with me. So I never have that pushback at all. And that's, you know, and I've been a high school coach. Priority of mine to go and talk to the coaches at any high school that of a quarterback I'm training and make sure that I'm teaching him what they're doing at their school and not just what I want.
That's why he's the best in the business. We told you at the top. We'll tell you again. Steve Calhoun. Coach, one more time, give them the website and the information of how they can find you and the camp coming up this weekend and beyond.
Absolutely. You can find my camps at my website, armedanddangerousfootball.com. I have a camp coming up this Sunday at Calvary Chapel High School from 12 to 2. You can register online there, and I will have one every other week. Just continue to follow on my website or follow me on Twitter or Armed and Dangerous on Instagram.
Perfect.
Find all my information and follow me there.
Perfect. Coach, want to thank you for taking some time and joining us, and good luck. And we look forward to seeing the next great batch of quarterbacks and receivers that come out of your camp.
Bob, I really appreciate you having me on, and you're doing a great job. And that's where you're going to be one of the best in the business.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it. That's Steve Calhoun, armedanddangerousfootball.com. Get signed up, and especially if you've got a young kid that plays football, right there, that's the guy that's going to help him reach his dreams. We'll have much more right here on Catholic Sports TV when we come back on Immaculate Heart Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and we welcome in our friend Paul Westfall. Paul is part of a new venture, a podcast that's happening, talking about what else? High school football. It's what we do around here, and it's what Paul does as well. Want to welcome in Paul. Thanks for joining us for a couple of minutes here.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us right off the top here about this new project, because I'm excited about it, because it's football, it's high school football, and it's talking the language we speak this time of year, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. I appreciate the run. It's called the W Column, and you can find it at thewcolumn.com, but we're also on all the platforms. We're on iTunes and Twitter and Facebook, et cetera. So if you're going to have a listen, if you'd listen on iTunes and give us an honest appraisal with a rating, we would all be grateful. It's a venture started by myself and a couple of the producers from Prep Zone. We decided probably needed a little more coverage for high school sports if we could get it. And so I have a guest in studio every week, and we talk about a variety of topics, including recent high school football, but also some other topics. First show, I had the distinguished coach, Bill Cunity, probably as knowledgeable a guy about high school football in the Southland as there is.
He's forgotten more than we probably ever knew.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, and we always joke about how he's maybe 2 degrees of separation from everyone who's ever played in Southern California.
That's probably true, too.
Either coached them or coached their dad or mentored them. You know, it's great fun to talk to high school football with the coach. And then we talked about competitive equity. You know, the formula where the CIF has decided to move teams up or down or leave them in the same division, which I thought was an enormous success the first year, and it's being tweaked from year to year. And I think they did a pretty good job of putting teams where they belong, which gives teams a chance to win a CIF championship that maybe would never have had a chance under the old format, where all of the teams from the same league got thrown into the same division. And if that doesn't make any sense to your listeners, just for example, in the Moore League in the past, because Long Beach Poly was king of the hill and very deserving to be in Division One, unfortunately, all of the other teams in the Moore League got thrown into Division One, and many of them really weren't competitive in Division One. Well, now they get sprinkled throughout the other divisions. And for example, last year, Long Beach Wilson lost in the semifinals, but they were in Division Six. You know, which is a little bit more realistic. And so I think competitive equity, they did a great job in the first year, and it'll get better. Then I had Steve Fryer on week two. We talked about transfers. I was stunned with the information provided by the CIF's great media relations guy and assistant commissioner, Tom Simmons. He told me that there were 6,999 transfers in the 2016-17 school year throughout the Southern Section. And I just thought that's a staggering number of transfers.
Wait, say that number again?
6,999 transfers.
Wow.
That encompasses all sports.
Right. Football,
but still, nearly 7,000 transfers? I had no idea that it was that widespread. And we talked about how it's a two-sided coin. I mean, I can see both sides of that issue really clearly, from both the disappointed coaches when the kids transfer out to the parents who are trying to get their young men and young women a chance to maybe get a college scholarship and save, you know, tens or $100,000 in tuition. So you can see where there's two different sides of that coin, to be sure, but the transfer issue is not going away. And then last week I had my good friend and our good friend, the distinguished modern-day head coach, Bruce Rollinson, before the Titanic matchup with Bishop Gorman, and Bruce and I went down memory lane. And it was very entertaining. So all of those episodes are archived, and so you can find them at thewcolumn.com, and you can listen to any of the first three episodes. And then tomorrow I'm going to have Mike Carney, former NFL All-Pro fullback and good friend and generally a guy with passionate opinions about high school football and most of the time pretty unfiltered. So we should have some good fun this week in the W column as well.
Well, it's really good stuff. You know, I've had a chance, and it's good stuff as always, and I expected it to be with you at the helm for sure. You know, you mentioned Steve Fryer, and you know, on my show here, I've had talked with you, I've talked with Steve Fryer, I've talked with Dan Albano of the Register, Eric Sonheimer from the LA Times, all longtime, you know, supporters and coverers, is that even a word? Reporters on high school football and high school sports. It's the ebb and the flow over the years of coverage and how entities have treated high school sports. Do you find that there's still a thirst for it from the public that want to know about high school football?
Yeah, no doubt about that. And that's why I'm a little bit puzzled and at times dismayed over the decision makers in the various media outlets to reduce coverage. I mean, there was a time when both the LA Times and the Orange County Register, just for two examples, and of course the other papers, the Daily Breeze and the Press Telegram and the Press Enterprise, Daily News, et cetera, all did, you know, yeoman work in covering high school sports for a long time. And then it sort of lost its priority in the sports page. And I thought, gosh, I think there's still a lot of people, when I talk to fans and stuff, when I just go to games, that really want to know in depth about various high school teams and not just their local favorite. So now, of course, in the age of the internet and social media, digital media, et cetera, the places you can find information about high school football comes from a different avenue. But there's no question in my mind that there are many people who still want to know about high school sports for a variety of reasons, whether they have children participating, or for many of us, I didn't play anything in college. I wasn't good enough to play anything in college, but I played in high school. So for a lot of people, that's as far as they went. So they have sort of this warm feeling about high school sports because it brings back, you know, the good old days when you were part of a team and all of that. So I think high school sports, the coverage is still very much in demand.
Yeah, I agree. The professor, Paul Westfall, joining us this week here on Catholic Sports View, talking about his new venture, brand new podcast, just a couple of weeks in now, and we're a couple of weeks into a new high school football season. And give him the website one more time, Paul, so everybody can find it.
Sure, definitely. Thanks, Bob. It is thewcolumn.com, but also on iTunes and Twitter and Facebook. You can find us. I can be reached. Twitter is at announcer Paul. The show is sort of a work in progress. We'll continue to tweak it from week to week and just try to give you a different spin on high school football in the fall. We'll change it to basketball, of course, in the winter, and then baseball and softball in the spring.
Well, I guess like anything, like any new venture, right? It catches an audience and it kind of finds itself as it goes along. We've both been doing this long enough to know that you get your audience as you move along here. But obviously, with the new brand new high school football season, podcasting really has become a way of reaching audiences. You know, we've both worked in several mediums over the years, but I think podcasting is a new way where people can kind of go catch these interviews, you know, when they feel like it.
Yes, exactly. And that's probably the best thing about it is you don't have to make sure you are either in your car or at your home or whatever at a specific time. These are obviously avenues that are you can reach anytime you feel like it. And because everything's archived, if you miss an episode or whatever, you can binge listen or whatever the term might be. Plus, it gives us a chance because it doesn't really have particular time constraints. We can perhaps give you a little more detail than might happen in either the print media or even online, where they have the various newspaper outlets have restrictions to just how much space and how much time they can devote to a particular topic. We hope to be able to give you a little more in-depth analysis, and so I think it has a chance. And I certainly appreciate your giving me a chance to plug it, and maybe people will have a listen and they can tell me what they think.
Absolutely, because there really is still a hunger for the high school football coverage out there. The only thing that surprised me about it was that the Bruce Rawlinson one didn't go 3 hours, because as we both know, Coach Rallo can talk and talk and talk for as long as you want him to.
exactly, and of course, Bruce's first game 29 years ago was my first game, and so we go back a long way, and we've seen a lot together, and so once we got started talking about some of the great memories of the modern-day program in its traditional excellence, he got wound up, and yeah, next thing I knew, I was getting the old wrap-it-up signal, and it was like, wait a minute, we just started.
Right?
What do you mean we're
So true. Paul Westfall joining us this week. The W Column is the new podcast. Now, speaking of football, we're a couple of weeks into the season. I know you've had a chance to call some top games already. You were just part of the Honor Bowl down in San Diego. How did that whole event go?
Well, it went great. What a great cause. And Mark Soto has started a marvelous organization. Please go to thehonorgroup.org. Long after the games are over, the needs of the veterans, which is the whole purpose of the program, is to provide for those men and women that volunteered to help serve our country and protect our freedoms, and many times they are in need of assistance. And so please go to the Honor group.org, and there's a chance that you can donate, but find out more about the primary mission of Mark Soto and his distinguished program. It was great fun, and there was some pretty good football played as well.
It seems like there always is. Yeah, we had Mark on our show here a couple of weeks back talking about leading up to it. And it always seems like in these games, there's always at least one or two really great football. We know the legendary one that you got to call a year ago was Centennial, but another good close one for you again this year.
Oh, I had an absolute barn burner with the Gardena Sarah and Punahou came over from Honolulu.
Yeah.
And if you don't know anything about Hawaiian football, Punahou is one of the three or four traditional strongest teams out there with the likes of St. Louis and Kahuku. But Punahou came over and they matched Sarah, who is always full of Division I college players and many NFL players eventually. Well, Sarah's got their usual complement of tremendous next level players, and Punahou matched them score for score. I'm not sure how they do it, but the Honor Bowl Selection Committee every year comes up with at least a couple that are for the ages.
A quick break right here on Catholic Sports View. When we come back, more with the professor, Paul Westfall. We're going to talk Trinity League football, modern-day Servite, Santa Margarita, J. Sarah, and St. John Bosco. Don't forget Orange Lutheran when we come back right here on Catholic Sports View. Sports View. We're visiting with the professor, Paul Westfall. Nobody knows modern-day sports better than you do. Any surprise that this team is 2-0 to start this football season? I mean, they look just absolutely low. We know how good the offense is. The defense looks just as loaded this year.
Yeah, well said, Bob. Bruce has really loaded up this season with the most amazing non-league schedule that I've seen anybody have in quite a while, in addition to, of course, the titanic matchup with Bishop Gorman last week. They're going to go up to Levi Stadium, coincidentally, and take on Stockton St. Mary's, who were in the state final last year, coming up in a couple of weeks. And they get a powerhouse from New Jersey and Bergen Catholic coming up on the 16th. But the win over Bishop Gorman, I think, really alerted the nation that this team is special kind of good. And you're right about the defense. The offense gets a ton of publicity, justifiably so, because of record-setting quarterback JT Daniels and that bushel of Division I wide receivers that he has, and an offensive line that's going to have five guys playing at the next level. But the defense, I think, is what won the game against Bishop Gorman, and that they're a very underrated bunch right now. And I think that if they're going to indeed have the dream season that all modern-day Monarch fans thought they were going to have last year, came up one game short, might have this year, I think it's going to be the defense that's going to win a championship for them, because at some point you're going to run into a team that has as good an offense as you have, and your defense better be able to stop them. And I think we got a little bit of a glimpse of that this past Friday, shutting down a team that came in with a 55-game win streak.
Yeah, so true. Not easy to beat that program, but you're right. You know, we got an inkling the week before in the opener with Bishop Amat, and I think it opened some eyes to, boy, just how good this modern-day defense could be. And then as they continue to gel, because as we know, we talked about transfers earlier on, there's some transfers that have come into the program here, especially on the defensive side. And, boy, once those kids really get into the flow of things, how good can this team be?
Yeah, extremely talented, very, very good athletes on that defensive side. And I think the question that most of us had was, well, when you lose five defensive backs, four to graduation and one to transfer, you've got a whole new secondary back there. You know, how good are they going to be?
Yeah.
Well, really, really good. They handled a very upscale offense in Bishop Gorman, and the young kids back there on the back line in that secondary played admirably.
Anything else surprise you about the Trinity League? I mean, it's obviously going to be a big year for the Trinity. It always is, but I guess Bosco, you know, dropping a game early, you know, I guess it's a good program. But other than that, we're seeing some good football out of the Trinity so far.
No doubt about it. I mean, I think from 1 through 6, this is the best Trinity League that I've seen. Everybody sort of thinks it's the big two and then the next four kind of playing for third place, and maybe that will play out. I think the most unfortunate team last week was Bakersfield Garces, and the former Servite star player and former head coach A.J. Gass. He runs into Bosco after they lose on a national televised basis. You knew Bosco was going to put it on whoever was next in line, and they certainly did. But the other four are really good. Orange Lutheran, I get my first look up close this week on Prep Zone. I get Orange Lutheran at Vista Murrieta, and J.P. Presley's got it going. New offense, some transfers in. Ryan Hawinski is big time, and they haven't given up a point yet. Neither has Santa Margarita. Two shutouts in a row for Coach Fisher's team, and he's got a transfer quarterback in Josiah Norwood, who's just going to get better and better and better with more repetitions. Mataele is a big-time athlete going to Utah, and he's as electrifying as anybody in the Trinity League. I mean, he plays as good as everybody is. Malone Mataele, he starts for anybody, so they're very legit. Jay Serra, though, I think is the kind of the wild card team. Pat Harlow's got a really good team there with an experienced quarterback, and they got a couple of transfer running backs in, a young man who Al Fisher, who was there as a freshman, but then went out inland, and now he's back. He got 210 yards rushing last week against James Washington's Alamany defense. There aren't very many young men that are going to get 200 yards rushing against Alamany, so that makes them kind of scary good. And then, of course, Servite, that's an intriguing bunch. Coach Meyer, former CDM coach with all that success at Corona Del Mar, he brings in coaches from Corona Centennial on the offensive side of the ball. And so suddenly I had a chance to watch them at the Honor Bowl against a really good team from Utah, an American Fork. And suddenly you look and there's those wide line splits and they're flinging it all over the field. And I'm thinking, well, it looks a lot like Corona Centennial. They're not as good as Corona Centennial yet, but Servite's going to be exciting to watch and they're going to put a lot of points up. They got a quartet of wide receivers in Wingfield, McDuffie, Hurt, and Trujillo that are all college wide receivers. So I think while it still might be the big two in Mater Dei and Bosco when it all plays out, but the next four probably win any other league that they're in.
It's so true. And we're talking with Paul Westfall, a longtime reporter here in Southern California, obviously the voice of football for many years on Cox Cable and Monarch TV. So many of you have grown up with Paul. We enjoy his calls every time you're behind the mic, Paul, every time you're calling a football game. It's amazing to me, and I'm just sort of searching in my mind as I'm trying to form the words for it, that I don't think that you can put a number on how important the rise of, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, the rise of modern day in Bosco, I think, pushed the rest of this Trinity League that they had to get better. So, you know, a Servite team and an Orange Lutheran team who had seen success in previous years, they had to raise their games. Jay Serra, who's been a pretty good football program, but if you're going to compete against a Mater Dei and a Bosco, you have to raise your profile. You have to bring in somebody like Pat Harlow to raise the profile of these football programs, and I think this has just completely taken this league to another level.
Yes, that's well said, and I completely agree. While those teams were not bad, I mean,
right,
by a long time. Santa Margarita won a state title not that long ago, and Servite had back-to-back CIF titles not that long ago. But it in the last couple of years, it appears as though Mater Dei and Bosco sort of separated themselves.
You were correct.
And so I think everybody realized that, man, if we want to do better than just one playoff win and we're done kind of thing, we're going to have to get better. We're going to have to change how we play. We're going to have to get better athletes. And so what you see is a general increase in the talent level and the coaching. Everything in the Trinity League seems to be up a notch or two, and so it should result in some amazing games once we get around to week six and they start playing those league games. I mean, you could pick out anyone any week, and you won't be disappointed. It'll be the best $10 that you will have ever spent is to go and watch any of the Trinity League games. I don't care. Just pick one out, and whatever's closest to you, wherever you're listening to this program today, just go and pick out a Trinity League game down the road, and you're going to walk away going, man, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's funny. I said it a couple of weeks ago. There's going to be a big upset somewhere along the way. It's going to seem like a big upset, but it really probably won't be in retrospect because of all the talent in this league. But someone's going to come up and bite somebody, and I think it's going to happen this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, to watch. Obviously not for the team that loses the game, but I think it's going to help, I think, for the overall strength of this league, which is already every team in this league made the playoffs a year ago, and everybody's that much better this year.
Well, and you better bring your A game.
Oh.
I mean, if you think that, and that includes the big two, if you think you're just going to kind of waltz out there and give them your B-minus game and still win because look how good we are, you just might find yourself on Saturday morning, you know, being really upset because I think they're all of these other coaches, and they've got some great coaches in this league. They all know the challenge of playing Mater Dei and Bosco. They're anxious and ready. I've talked to all of them. They all know what's in front of them, but they're ready. They're ready. Let's go. You know, we're going to use the non-league to get better. And a lot of these teams have scheduled some crazy non-league schedules in order to make sure that they understand the gauntlet that is the Trinity League.
Yeah. Final moments with Paul Westfall here on Catholic Sports View this week. You know, you mentioned the coaches, and you know, we saw Orange Lutheran, you know, dip into the college ranks to hire a Chuck Peterson. They've now gone with a former alumni and J.P. Presley, as we talked about. Certainly Santa Margarita dipped into the college ranks to get Rich Fisher to come coach at Santa Margarita. Do you think we'll see more college guys coming back maybe into the high school game in the higher profile jobs, or do you think there's still jobs for guys like, you know, a Scott Meyer who built his resume, you know, coming up through the lower level, quote unquote, you know, high school ranks?
I hope what I would like to see is a little more patience from fans, parents, administrators, et cetera. You're not going to win CIF every year. You're just not. And so if you go a couple of years where maybe you don't, you know, get to the semifinals or finals or take away the hardware, it doesn't mean the program is swirling down the drain. And so what I hope with this current group that they have, not just Trinity League, in a lot of the other high expectation programs where it seems like if you have a couple of down years, suddenly everybody, you know, they let's clean house and start over. And,
right.
And there's a lot of good men that are, you know, the biggest, I think, issue with high school sports is that you are building quality young adults. You are, everybody wants to win. That's why you keep score. But I think the idea that if you don't win a championship, well, then maybe it's time to find somebody else. You should look at your program and say, are we generating quality young adults? Are we getting our kids to colleges? Are we making sure that our program stays out of trouble? You know, all of these things that I think are the real cornerstones of good prep sports, not necessarily whether you go 13-1. Sometimes some very good people have been, whatever verb you want to put, whether it's fired, resigned,
pushed out.
You know, yeah. Right. I mean, sometimes, you know, whatever the official press release says, sometimes I'm just thinking, wow, I'm wondering if this wasn't done a little hastily, because I've seen some very good men who had the right ideas suddenly are not coaching anymore. And I'm not just talking about the Trinity League. I'm talking about all over. And so I hope that what happens is we have a little more patience.
Paul, I want to thank you again. Let's leave everybody with the name of the podcast one more time and how they can access it.
You can find it at thewcolumn.com. We're also on iTunes, so have a listen. I think you'll find it's time well spent.
Thanks again for joining us. We'll catch up with you a little bit later on down the road as well, because it's going to be a fun football season for sure.
My pleasure, Bob. Call anytime.
All right, thanks. We appreciate it. That's Paul Westfall, the professor. Thanks again for joining us this week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. And we want to thank our guests this week. And if you'd like to hear a replay of this show or any of the others we've done on Catholic Sports View, just simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio. Just click on our icon right there, and all those podcasts will load up for you, and you can listen to any of them. I am Bob Gibson. We thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on Immaculate Heart Radio.